You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome, everyone, to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. We're already on our seventh show of the season, and man, Shane, what a year it's been so far. But we're going to start things off and talk about Pro 4. Everyone's talking about it on social media.
Yeah, those both races at Crandon were knockdown, drag-out battles between Jimmy Henderson and CJ Greaves. Of course, round three, Jimmy Henderson finally got over the hump, made that pass, that late pass on CJ, took his first career Pro 4 win. We've been like pretty openly rooting for Jimmy Henderson, you know, even while calling races for a couple of years now. So it's really great that he was able to pay that off with a win. Couldn't be happier for the guy. You saw the emotion when he jumped out of the truck. He was hugging his wife and basically broke down in tears. You could just see like the relief. And we talk about how hard he works off seasons and year round, just testing, trying new things on the truck. He's constantly making little changes here and there, and it finally all paid off. So it was great to see. But then round four, you want to talk about some drama, Brent. So CJ pays back Henderson with a late pass in that one. It was a little bit physical. CJ got penalized three spots. What do you think about that pass?
Boy, Shane, I believe the pass, you can take it in multiple ways. Like we talked before and after the accident, before this show, I'm talking, and you could say it was bad. You could say it was just a racing move, but you got to put yourself in CJ Greaves' shoes and Jimmy's shoes. They want to both win, and you got to go to that spot. And yeah, it might have looked a little aggressive, but to me, I called it as I seen it, and it looked like a block pass, and he moved him up out of the way. If you're a Jimmy Henderson fan, well, then you're going to think different and be like, man, CJ got really aggressive, but Jimmy was aggressive as well. And if it's up to us, I believe we want to see them go all out. We want to not see no one take each other out, but I believe it was a racing incident, and we want to see more of that.
Right. I don't think any fans that were there or watched us on the Flow Racing for that round four race felt like they were robbed of any action, for sure. I mean, that race was worth the price of admission. And then obviously, like we said, all the drama unfolding, you know, surrounding that pass and afterwards. I think I'm there with you. Like I've told you, you know, a couple days ago when we were talking on the phone, I can watch it a couple times and I'm like, oh, definitely, you know, CJ pushed it too far. And then I can watch it later that day. I'm like, man, I don't know. That was, you know, two guys that were, you know, both days, that two drivers that definitely brought their A game. And like you said, that's some of the best in the business at the top of their game. Hyper competitive. There's egos. Neither one wants to yield to the other one. Man, I'm just glad we don't have to make those calls.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would never want to make that call and leave it up to Bobby and the guys to do that. And I mean, if you ask me, I think the penalty might have been a little harsh. I mean, because you're going for the win and then to knock yourself off the podium. But that's the call they make. And we know going into these rounds now what that level is and where that edge is. We talk about driving and being on the edge. Well, now you can run hard, but you're going to get points taken away or spots taken away if you make a very aggressive pass. And granted, we'll see it again. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's about damn time we see somebody step up to the plate and give CJ a run.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Looking ahead to ERX for Pro 4, really the last 3 years that you and I have been calling races together, ERX, Pro 4, that's been like the magic formula for some ridiculously good racing. How much do you think this spills over into ERX, if at all?
I believe they're all going to come and they're going to be ready to just whoop butt. I mean, they're going to have their setups on tack. And I mean, they might be testing before they go to ERX. Not sure. I'll have to keep an eye on social media. But I'm sure and I'm positive Jimmy Henderson will be right there. CJ will be ready to go. And who knows if we see Johnny Greaves back in the saddle. It could mix everything up. But we did last year see Kyle Duke. I mean, Jimmy Henderson, CJ Greaves, and Chenny, and all those guys, Chaney, putting on a hell of a show. And, you know, Andrew Carlson will be there as well. So I see a
RJ
lot of
Anderson
the same.
Too.
Yeah, I see a lot of the battles that we've seen in the past going to create. I mean, not only CJ and Jimmy, it's going to be a host of others. And RJ Anderson, remember, he was a back-to-back cup winner at one time, and he's ready to swing.
Yeah, he's also won a race at ERX. I don't remember if that was last year or the year prior, but yeah, it's lining up to be one hell of a show at ERX Motor Park for rounds 5 and 6. Can't wait to get to that. But so we're almost at the 1/3 point of this season, and we've got some points leaders. You know, when we did the first couple shows this year, we kind of made some predictions, talked broadly about who we expected to be up in the front. We got some interesting points leaders, and it's guys that we didn't talk about a whole heck of a lot coming into this year. Big story, Ryan Beat leading the points in Pro 2. Of course, we found out earlier this year that he was dealing with a back injury and then some side effects from that injury and from the medication that he was on last year. Are you surprised to see him leading the way in Pro 2?
Surprised, Shane? I don't know if I'm surprised. I know he's got the program and the people behind him and the trucks to be up front. But to get up front and to be up front this early in the year and showing a lot of strength, yeah, that's really surprising because there's so many great drivers in this class. Granted, we have some guys that haven't made any rounds yet, but if Ryan Beat stays this hot, it's going to be tough to chase him down because he definitely feels comfy in that truck. And I'll tell you, yeah, I could say I'm a little surprised, but as a race car driver, he just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, not only that, but you'll remember just a couple of years ago, he was right in the thick of the Pro 2 points battle, had some bad luck at Bark River that year, and then the wheels kind of came off his points hopes entering the final round at Crandon. But yeah, I guess great comeback story. If there was a comeback driver of the year award and we got to pick it, he's definitely on track for that. Like we said, he dealt with that injury last year that nobody knew about until the opening rounds this year. So I'm with you. I'm not surprised. It's a pleasant surprise. Let's say that he's not
right. Right.
I did not expect him to do well, but already 2 wins through the first 4 rounds, been on the podium all 4 rounds. I mean, he's putting together one heck of a season, and he's going to be really tough for these other guys to keep up with.
Yeah, Ryan Beat, I expect big things the rest of the year, and it's going to be hard to reel him in. And you can't count out anyone else. There's rumors that Kleiman might be coming back for Bark River. So I mean, there's a lot of energy going in this Pro 2 class for the rest of the season. So it's going to be tough for Ryan to get the job done, but if anybody can, he can.
Well, another, this is, I think you'll agree, more of a surprise for sure. Tyson Marquardt, a rookie in Pro Stock side-by-side. We're 4 rounds in. He is leading the points in Pro Stock. He was, I think, 9th in Pro-Am points last year. Currently leading Pro Stock against CJ Greaves and all the rest. How surprising is that?
It's very surprising. But the kids are in shape, they're good drivers, and I just thought it was a matter of time before they would do good in this class. They would catch on pretty quickly. But at the same time, you look at it, to lead the points, man, they smile a lot, but I guarantee you they're grinning ear to ear because they're locked and loaded. They know how to drive these cars, and I didn't expect them to be in the top on the points chart, but hey, man, this is Champ Off-Road.
The thing that strikes me so far about Tyson Marquardt is the consistency. The reason that some of the other drivers who you expect to see up front, namely CJ Greaves, Owen Van Eppern, they've both had some issues. Van Eppern had some problems back in round one. Greaves had problems in round two and then again in round four, so he's all the way back in 5th in points. But it just warms my heart to see, you know, he's a Lena kid and works on his own race car. There's no factory support. There's no sponsor paychecks coming into that team. His supporters are local businesses near Dirt City Motorplex and family and friends. And like I said, you look at the list of names, guys that are trying to keep up with him, Owen Van Eppern, Andrew Carlson, CJ Greaves. I don't know how long that's sustainable, but hey, tip of the cap to him and the whole team.
Yeah, Tyson has to keep his head high because he's doing some big things early on. And anytime you can stay ahead of CJ Greaves, and when CJ Greaves is knocked down, that's the time you have to pounce because no one wants to see their competitor down. But hey, you have bad days as well. And what he's doing is big things in his racing program. And man, I would definitely want to be on board with those kids. They're very, very quick.
Well, another quick driver who I think both of us probably expected this guy to be up near the front of his class, and Pro Buggy Billy Booth right now leading the points over Larry Jobe and Mark Steinhardt. And the other side of that story is Michael Meister, who was a 5-time champ and obviously, you know, the odds-on favorite, if we're going to be honest. He's all the way back in 6th in points. He's had, you know, 2 subpar rounds out of the 4 so far. Are you surprised by Billy Booth? We thought he'd pick up the Pro Buggy fast. This is year 2 for him. Is he going to be there at the end?
I believe he will be. He'll be in the top 3 at the end of the year in the points, and that's throwing a curveball. But I believe, I mean, that kid's going to be throwing fastballs the rest of the year because that number 51, that blue Mud Muncher buggy, it's always in our screen. Yeah, granted, there's some days that the setup's not on point, but they're always right there. And it doesn't surprise me to see him doing this well in his second year, because the first year, we weren't surprised. We were proud of him at what he did just right out of the gate with that car.
Right, but at the same time, you got to remember, a couple of years back, Billy Booth won both the light buggy and 1600 buggy championships in the same year.
Crazy.
So, again, to quote Mike Vandenhoevel, if you can win in those buggy classes, you can win in anything. Yes, it's a big jump up to the pro buggies. But, yeah, I'm not all that surprised. I think he's going to be a contender as long as he stays in the class. If he ever wants to move on to something else, I think he'll probably pick that up as well. The guy is an absolute technician behind the wheel.
Yeah, 120%, I agree with you. It's crazy to watch him do work in those cars and hands-on. Him and his father are so good at what they do, and I expect big things. I really do, out of Billy Booth. He's a great race car driver, a great person. I mean, if you're bored walking around the pits, go hang out and talk to him, because he's so smart at what he gets to do, and it'll be fun to watch the rest of the year.
You know, I set this chunk of the show up by talking about guys who weren't on anyone's radar. Let's talk a little bit about Pro-Am side-by-side. Kyle Sharkey currently leading points over Colton Krajicek and all the rest of the guys. Last year, Sharkey was 15th in Pro-Am side-by-side points. Now we are 4 out of 12 rounds into the sportsman season. He is leading points. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. I mean, you can say what you want and say, hey, yeah, his father-in-law is Johnny Grease, but at the same time, it's like the kid's driving the car. It's very good, and you go look at what he's pitting out of. He's doing all of his own work, and yeah, it helps to be related to John Grease and be part of that family, but I give him credit. Anytime you can go from 15th in the points to leading this early in the season, hey, man, you're in that inversion, you're in that group, and that gives you a lot of positive energy and confidence.
Well, I think the key for him, and we've talked about this with Pro-Am side-by-side and Sportsman side-by-side, the key in those classes is just be consistent. That's what he's done. He finished 9th in round 1. That's his worst finish of the year. But since then, 3rd, 2nd, 4th. And in a class that's so full, like Pro-Am side-by-side, you know, talking 25-ish cars at every single race, sometimes that's all it takes. Just get to the end of the race and then see how it shakes out. You know, maybe you don't have to compete for wins as much as you just have to survive and then find yourself 3rd, 4th at the end.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. I like what you said, is survive. And to be in any of these classes, you have to stay out of the carnage, you have to stay on pace, and you have to run hard. I mean, you only get so much time. Granted, we stop the clock at the mandatory competition caution, but when you're in a car, it don't seem like you get that long in it. So you have to be ready, and you have to put wins together. Not only wins, you have to put top threes and be consistent, and that's what I think guys like Sharkey and that are doing to be there.
Well, I mentioned Sportsman side-by-side before, and you just mentioned, you know, try to win as many races as you can. Sportsman side-by-side. We had Ben Heiting on the show after he got his first career win back in round 2. Kid shows up at Crandon, sweeps the weekend in Sportsman side-by-side. He had all kinds of bad luck to start out in Sportsman side-by-side in 2022. You know, that's a kid you know pretty well. Is it surprising that he's leading the points here at the 1/3 mark?
Boy, I mean, he shot out of a cannon to start the year. And I mean, I remember talking to his father, Brian, at Crandon after he won again coming out of Antigo. He was so confident. And I told Brian, I'm like, dude, your kid surprised the heck out of me, because one, the last couple of years, he was just getting his feet wet. Nothing against Ben. He just was grasping on little by little, and then it just seemed like he wasn't interested. And then he comes out this season and just puts a whooping on the field for a couple races. And to have 2 wins this early gives the kid a lot of confidence. And yeah, I'm surprised, but he's putting in the work, and he's very smart at how he's driving.
You know, one thing that stands out to me about him sweeping rounds 3 and 4 at Crandon is when we had him on the show a couple weeks ago before Crandon, he was, you know, confident, but not super optimistic. He said, you know, the Polaris, right, they don't do as well at the faster, flatter tracks. I don't think it mattered to him very much. And if he's going to start stringing together wins like that, I mean, look out. We talk about that class, you know, consistency is priority number one. But if you're consistently winning, I mean, you could put together a really dominant year in that class.
Yeah, our buddy Kyle LeDuc loves to say that. You know, he Everybody, oh, we should just get consistent wins and get the top threes and consider those wins, and then at the end of the year, it'll come to you. But Kyle always said, if you go out and win every race, the championship will come to you. So I totally agree 100%. You know, you got to be consistent. But Ben right now, he's doing what he needs to do, and it's going to be hard to tame him if that car runs the way it does and he keeps being calm, cool, and collected. And he definitely surprised the hell out of me, but in a good way.
Yeah, talking about getting the wins, the championships come to you. Every once in a while, you'll hear a driver kind of half jokingly on the podium. You know, they scratch out a third place finish and they say, "Eh, well, you know, it's good points day." And that's kind of, they sound a little defeated that they couldn't do better than third. Hey, the best points day you can have is just go out there and win. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, winning's everything. And if you can win and be there at every event and be in that top three and the points and do what you need to do, I mean, that's what gets you the confidence to keep going and wins you a championship. So we'll have to wait and see. I can't give Ben every win the rest of the season because that class is so tough. I mean, a host of other guys that can knock him off that top spot, but confidence and what he's doing in the Sportsman side-by-side class is going to go a long way for him.
Confidence and momentum, man, they'll carry you a long way. So on the other side of the coin, there's a couple drivers I want to single out, unfortunately, for these two drivers who are not having the start to the season they wanted. CJ Greaves, mentioned him, fifth in points in pro stock. Obviously, the kid's leading pro four. He's leading pro turbo side-by-side. So it's not like it's a lost season for CJ or anything like that. How quickly do you think he turns it around? Do you think he can right the ship? I mean, it's been just bad luck, mechanical stuff in the pro stock. They'll figure that out, right?
Yeah, this is what they do for a living. I mean, something's catching them off guard that they are not catching, or it's, like you said, it's mechanically going wrong. I don't think it's what they're doing hands-on. It's a factory part or something's failing, because CJ's not overdriving, not putting the car in the wrong spots and getting in an accident. So we know it's out of his hands right now. But yes, they'll bounce back. Obviously, he'll be quick. We see how fast he is, gets to the front, pulled off to the side. It's obviously mechanically going wrong. At what point, we don't know, but yeah, he'll be back.
Well, another driver who I want to talk about just briefly, I mentioned him earlier, Michael Meister. So he was not able to take the green flag in round one. And then in round four, he was running up near the front, trying to claw his way back up toward the top of the point standings, and then ended up with a flat tire. Again, that's a couple things that you can't totally control. As it stands right now, four rounds into this 2023 season, he's 38 points out of first behind Billy Booth, sitting in sixth. How tough is it going to be for him, especially in Pro Buggy, which is a really competitive class this year with a couple guys really stepping up their game? How tough is it going to be for him to claw his way back into the points conversation? And can he do it?
Well, yeah, yes, he can do it. We know he can do it, but it's if somebody else has issues, or he's going to have to go out and start winning some races, because to make up that gap, he's going to have to be consistent. You know, Billy Booth isn't going to pull off to the side and be like, "Yep, here comes Michael Meister again." Nope. Steiny's fast. A lot of other guys are fast. Larry Jobe's fast. I mean, it's going to be tough to wiggle your way through. Like you said, there's a lot of competition. But Michael Meister, like I said about CJ Greaves, they're good at what they do. They've been around. They know how to bounce back. He'll be back winning races before you know it. And I had a chance to talk to him at Crandon, and he blew up a motor. He's like, "Hey, Brent, what do you do?" Right, bud? He's like, "I've had such a good streak this far in my career. It's going to happen." And I'm like, dude, to have that mentality and like, dude, don't worry about it. Let it relax, man. I wish I could be like that. That's why I know he'll be back, because he just lets it go.
Hey, that's the kind of calm you can only be if you're already a five-time champion.
Unreal.
For what it's worth, CJ Greaves was second and took a second and a first last year at ERX, and Michael Meister won one of the Pro Buggy races last year. So both those guys, like we said, they're going to right the ship really quickly. I think they'll both do well at ERX.
Yeah, Shane, they'll be back on their A game. I can guarantee you that. It's a cool track, and they're going to let it all hang out. I can't wait.
Well, you know who else brings their A-game, and that's AMSOIL. Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit AMSOIL.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient AMSOIL product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. AMSOIL, run with us.
Well, next up on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL, Chad Rayford. Chad, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. How's it going for you guys?
Really good, man. Just trying to move things along in the season, and you're on a pretty good high right now coming off a double win. How's that feel?
Yeah, we're doing good. It's pretty big because, like I said in my interview, that was the first win for me at Crandon on a truck and the first weekend sweep for me. So that was huge for me and my team and sponsor Kenda. I was still riding that high.
Hey, so I do want to dive into your hot start in pro spec, but I want to take it way, way back because you were a racetrack kid just like Brent and I were. Started showing up with your Uncle Rick. He was an accomplished sportsman racer in the 90s. As a kid, were you already on the path to being a racer yourself?
I believe so. It actually started before that. My Uncle Rick and his best friend Andy did Good Old Boys. So I started going to the track and watching him in Good Old Boys, and I was hooked from there. And then he moved up the ranks a little bit and followed him. And I was, like I said, I was just hooked and knew this is what I wanted to do. And then I started helping the Zillish brothers in the trucks, 42 at the time. And that was my goal at that time, get in the pro truck.
So from being a racetrack kid, I know at some point you raced some quads. I think you did some snowcross. You know, how long were you in that? And then you were also working in off-road the whole time. So how did you ultimately find your way behind the wheel of a truck?
I wasn't able to get in a vehicle at the time. So I chose snowcross. My uncle's owned a Skidoo dealership, so I started racing Skidoo. Got a factory-supported ride. I won 11 championships in snowcross and then decided I had enough with that. And then I started racing quads, won a couple of motocross championships on kind of tires, actually. And then I started helping Chris Brandt in Pro Light. And from there, I helped John Fitzgerald, and the truck John drove came up for sale. So Chris Brandt helped me purchase that truck, and the rest is kind of history.
So now that you're in that truck, has that been the only truck? I mean, I know you've recut the front and back off multiple times, but has that been the only Pro Light you've physically owned through the ranks?
Yeah, this is actually the same truck. I've driven a couple other trucks for other people, but this is the only truck I've owned. And it's basically not the truck I started with. We cut the front off, the back off, the top, right, the middle. So there's like the two frame rails in the middle, I think, is all that's original. So me and Mikey have dissected this truck. So it's basically a new truck. I mean, we cut it apart this last winter again and redid the entire thing. So yeah, it's basically new again for this year.
So when did you actually start racing in Pro Light?
08 was my first time in the seat. John Fitzgerald, it was his truck at the time. He was sponsored by a guy that owned it. And he was having a baby. So he was not able to come to the track that weekend. And he called me, he's like, hey, you want to race it this weekend? I'm like, all right, never driven one, you know, never done anything. So I went straight out for 2-lap practice and then went out in a race, and I hole shotted second right behind Jeff Kincaid. And it ended up being a mud race. So I think I finished top 10, but yeah, I was kind of thrown in the deep end. So then that truck came available. I bought it, raced the last race of 09, partial year in 10, couple partial years after that. And then Kenda came on board, and I was able to race a couple of full seasons in Pro Light, almost won a championship in 18. And now we're back to this year, running the full year again. So yeah, it's been eventful.
You know, you basically spent 14 years, you know, parts of 14 years racing Pro Light almost entirely as a privateer. You were racing against, you know, like you said, you started out racing against Jeff Kincaid. You raced against some of the biggest names to ever come through Pro Light. You've raced across several series. I think you won a regional championship out west, if I remember. You've raced on all kinds of tracks that we don't even go to anymore. When you look back at all the time you've spent in Pro Light, you know, do you have a sense of satisfaction at what you were able to accomplish being, you know, basically a family and friends kind of team on your own dime?
Oh, it's been huge. Like, the money that I've had to spend on this is very minimal. And I honestly, I've raced all those years, but most of the years have been a couple races a year. So actually the time in the truck isn't as much as it sounds like. But yeah, to accomplish what I have, winning races, winning torque races, winning a championship out west, just competing, I mean, podiums against the best in the sport, I've accomplished a lot, I feel. And on the budget I have, you know, it's hard work. That's me and Mikey have built this truck from nothing, made it a winning truck. But yeah, I feel a huge sense of accomplishment.
So, Rafe, you've been in this sport, it seems like, forever. I mean, you say you feel accomplished, but what are your goals leading out of all this excitement and all this success? Like, what are you looking towards? Obviously, you're not looking up classes, but what's your goals for the rest of the year?
Well, the rest of the year, just be consistent and win. I mean, this class is not easy. We have a lot of great drivers in this class. Nick Visser is one of them. He's charging hard. He's right on me. Gray is amazing. Everyone in the class, that's why I wanted to enter this class, because there's a very diverse group in the class, but they're all strong competitors. So I just feel with this engine package, this truck is amazing to drive. It's the most fun I've had in a long, long time. So I just want to build on that. Obviously, I'm a racer. Championship's my goal. A lot, and as many wins as I can get through the year, that's the ultimate goal, I guess.
So you're now sitting at 3 straight wins. You know, Brent mentioned you're off to this hot start. You were leading laps in round one. Did you think that you were going to come out of the gate in pro spec and be this fast, this successful right from the drop of the first green flag?
I honestly didn't expect it. I mean, like I said, those guys are fast last year. I was expecting to be competitive, but I didn't think I'd come out swinging like this. I mean, I'm still trying to figure this truck out, how to drive it, how to set it up, you know, everything about it. So I'm still learning every time out. So yeah, I definitely didn't expect to come out of the gun like this.
There was a really cool post that Mikey put up on social media just a couple days ago, I think middle of last week. He said something to the effect of, you know, now everybody can see what some people in the sport have known for a long time, that, you know, you are a legit driver. Is it vindicating now that you're in a class where the budget is less important and it's more down to the driver and that you are proving yourself?
Oh, definitely. This is the class I wanted to be in. This, you know, where the driver showed up. Like, you can't just spend your way into the class, because I kind of got lost in Pro Light. Just, I got outspent. Like, I work a 50-60 hour week job that I can't dedicate the time or money to spend what these guys are spending. So I kind of got lost, and this brings the driver back. It's kind of like the four cylinder days. You've seen the accomplished drivers winning, not the new up and comers. So that's bringing the driver back to the class with this engine package. So it's awesome.
I liked what you just said right there, and to talk that you're so positive about the class because you're not getting beat by that guy that comes in with a brand new truck and spent the most money. I mean, you actually have to drive these things. And I mean, you can ask Shane, you can ask a lot of people. I always had your back because I'm like, dude, the kid can drive anything. Just let him have a shot. And I just felt like in the Pro Light class, it was always a new motor, a new transmission, a new converter. People are changing, and you didn't have that budget to do all those testing and tunings. And I feel like this is your class. I feel what Mikey said is absolutely correct. I mean, it makes us smile up in the booth when you can come across that finish line at first, because, man, to say you have heart and soul in this sport is just an understatement. If you don't give you all the credit in the world, dude, like, you've been around it, you've put blood, sweat, and tears, and it's good to see you up on top. And I'm not just saying that because we're buddies. It's just, it's cool to see somebody keep at it and never giving up.
I appreciate that. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of years, a lot of sacrifices to get to this point. So to finally get some accomplishments for that, it's pretty cool. Like I said, it's been a lot of work. Had a lot of help over the years, and this year some people stepped in, but I do 90-95% of this by myself. The help I do get is awesome, but it's a lot of work, and you got to believe in it. This has got to be your life, pretty much, to do this, to be successful in it. So for it to start paying off is pretty awesome.
So your whole journey through off-road racing, you've been, you know, working alongside, you know, like you mentioned, the Zillish brothers, who, you know, fans that were racetrack kids like us will certainly remember that name. Like you said, Chris Brandt, Fitz, working with Mikey Vandenhoevel. You've been surrounded by, you know, some extraordinary people in off-road racing. How much do those experiences and those relationships still benefit you today?
Oh, they're huge. I mean, you take little bits or a lot from every one of those relationships. You learn from the good, the bad, and you apply it to your program. You see what works, and then you build on that, and you keep pushing and charging. And I feel grateful because my uncle did this for a lot of years, and unfortunately, we lost him to cancer. And for me to accomplish what I have above and beyond what he was able to, you know, that's huge for me. It's cool. His son, Corey, actually helped spot for me sometimes. For him to be part of our team we got going on with RNS and my team in the twins racing, it's cool to bring that full circle.
Yeah, and you need a lot of people. I mean, you can thank everyone that shows up at the track, but we talk about people that stick behind one another. And I mean, Kenda Tires has been behind you 120%. And we talk in the off season. It's never easy, but it seems like they always pick great drivers that keep trying, don't have a big budget, but yet they know they can help them with a tire program. And I mean, that has to be huge. I mean, I'm talking like, we don't want to call you an underdog, but with the budgets and everything, that's what we consider you. And it seems like they've stuck behind you. And to have a guy like that and a company like that's got to be huge.
Kenda Tires has been so crucial to my career. Honestly, I probably would have been done by now if it wasn't for them. Kenda, Mike, and Brandon, and Matt, driver, everybody from Kenda, they believe in me. Like, I'm a part of their overall program. I'm an ambassador to Kenda. I help design and develop their new tires. I'm a big part of that. I go out to their shows. We have this thing, it's called Light Truck Boot Camp, that we go to every year, bring 40 customers and retailers, and we put them through the paces and Jeeps up in the mountains and on these courses. So Kenda Tires is like family to me. They could have gave up on me years ago, but they didn't. And like you said, they like the little guy. They could go and be with a big team and win a lot more races and championships, but they want to be with people like me who are passionate about the sport and believe in the sport and believe in the product. So it's been amazing having them as a partner.
Hey, so let's switch gears a little bit. That's kind of what you've done from last year to this year, jumping from the Pro Light to the Pro Spec. So, you know, to the average fan, maybe they don't look too dissimilar, but how different is it? You know, you mentioned you're still kind of learning how to drive the Pro Spec compared to all the seat time you had in Pro Light. So how different is it, and in what ways is it different?
100% different. Yeah, it's the same base truck, but we're 400 pounds lighter. You go from the LS is 500, 550 horse, somewhere in there, with automatic transmission, to a 300 horse V6 with a manual. So you're drastically reduced power. Honestly, I'm calling this the light buggy of trucks. It's momentum class. You can't mess up. You know, it screws up your two more corners if you mess up the one. It's all about the driver. Like, you got to hit your marks every lap, not get out in the fluff, you know, run great lines, but it's a blast. Like, Pro Light, you just throw in and go. You know, you can mess up every corner and still be right there. It's a huge undertaking to drive one. You're so much busier in the truck than a Pro Light. It's kind of funny, actually.
So, Rafe, what about prep? Like, your engine, I mean, all your maintenance, the drivetrain. I mean, is it any more different to prep a Pro Light now to a Pro Spec? I mean, tell us the difference, if there is any.
Honestly, it's probably a little more prep, because we got a clutch now, a manual transmission that doesn't take the abuse that the automatic did. I mean, Charlie built some amazing transmissions that can take a lot. So this, your straight cut gears, you know, you're hard on it. And so you got to pull the transmission apart every race, check everything out, pull the clutch out. And it's,
wow,
it's a low horsepower, but you're screaming it. So this thing rattles all the bolts loose, unlike a Pro Light. It reminds me of the four cylinder, because that was even worse, the high rev and four cylinder.
I love how you say you're busy.
You're busy. First time C-Pod jumped in his truck and drove, he's like, man, you're like way busier than a Pro Light. I'm like, oh, I told you. But it's good, though. It's a good thing.
I think Pro Spec is kind of another interesting experiment, too. You know, a few years ago, Pro 2 jumped from the unlimited motors to the 410 motor package. Now you've got Pro Spec, which is basically from the pulleys all the way back to the rear end is all spec. You know, what are your thoughts on spec racing? You think that there should be more of it in off-road racing?
I like it. I know there's a lot of people who don't like spec racing because there are ways to mess with things, but I like it because I tell everyone, I want to beat you as a driver. I don't want to have to beat your truck. I like where we're at. I feel this is Pro Light. This is what Pro Light should be. We kind of got away from Pro Light with the current package. So I'd like to see more of this, and I want everything locked. I keep telling Frank, we need to lock this down and keep it spec, keep it under control, so we have some great racing. Because once everyone realizes how great this class is, it's going to blow up. I think we're going to have 20, 25 trucks easily, and the racing is going to be unreal. So that's part of the reason I wanted to get into it, to prove this class and show what it can do and what it can be. So I think it's a lot better look this year, racing 9, 10 trucks. So I can't wait for 20 trucks out there.
Brent, I'm curious your thoughts on that too, on spec racing. I don't think I've ever even asked you about that, but what do you think about spec classes and maybe bringing those concepts into other classes.
I love everything about being in a pro spec or any spec class because, like, I agree with Rayford, because you want to be able to beat that guy. I mean, if you go and try to beat his equipment, I've raced in my life against guys that I didn't feel had the talent like what we put in, and I'd go back home and be like, Dad, how the hell did they beat us? Well, son, they put brand new tires on every weekend and they do this and do that. And we're like, oh, man, you know, like that's how we got beat. So, I mean, in the pro spec class, I think it's awesome because you can go out there and show your talent. And if you have a decent setup truck, you can run with them. And just calling the races, Shane, you know this. It's fun to call because nobody just runs away and hides. You can be in fourth and run three good laps and the leaders could make a couple mistakes and you could be right back out in front. And that's what I love about spec racing.
Yeah, you guys are drivers first and I'm a fan first, and I agree with both of you. I think as a fan, and I'll speak for fans, I think fans would rather see trucks that are a little bit slower, but more of them that are more evenly matched. That's my opinion on the matter.
I agree with that. I always like trying to get the series of slow pro light down. I know no racer wants to slow down, but I feel like the racing gets better as you slow down a little bit because more people can compete than the underdogs like myself can be competitive. So that does that in this class. Everyone is equal out there. Our drivetrains are completely equal. You know, it's setup and driver is what wins the race now.
That's what pro light was supposedly going to be. Remember what, 10 years ago they went, when they went to the Crate Motors, they're like, yeah, we're going to just keep it a V8 and can't touch this, can't touch that. And then all of a sudden it's just like, okay, now we're at injection LSs.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was all downhill after the torque converters, man.
Yep.
High dollar torque converters.
What do we know?
Hey, so we're getting close here. We're coming up on midway through the season, but next up is ERX rounds 5 and 6. That's a place you've only raced a couple times over the last handful of years, but you have tested there the last couple preseasons, I think. How confident are you bringing this new package, the Pro Spec truck, to a track that you're not that familiar with?
We tested there. We had our Kenda test there with Corey Winter and Zach Zukowski, and that was honestly the first time I really drove this truck, and I'm pretty confident. It's going to be tough because those guys were there last year, all the fast guys in the class, but that's also where I won the last torque race ever in Pro Light. So I have some success there, and it's probably one of my favorite tracks. So I'm pretty confident there. I mean, I'm not an arrogant person, so I know everyone's going to be tough. So I never let my guard down. You know, we got to charge hard. Just, we got to be consistent. So no, I think it's going to be a good track for us.
Do you think your background really fits this track? I mean, from the past in Pro Light, I mean, you go back to your quad background riding snowcross. When this track gets all dissed up, like, do you feel that's an advantage for you?
Oh, it's a huge advantage. I prefer a rough track. It's a smooth highway. It's not fun for me. I like it when it gets rough. So yeah, when that, all these ruts develop in the track and all the jumps, the hills, and I forget what they call that new section, but the track is just fun. It keeps you busy. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that Ziegler Cad turn is wicked.
Sorry,
that's it. That's the one.
It's okay.
What does it actually take to run up front at a track like ERX? I think, you know, from where I sit, ERX is like the most uniquely challenging track on the whole tour. So what does it actually take in the driver's seat to be fast there?
I mean, it's pretty much like any other track. Just no mistakes on the gas, you know, smooth lines, and that rhythm section always tricky there, as we've seen last year. But yeah, just smooth and fast, basically. But you have to be on it. You can't let up on your guard at all there, because someone will be coming, and that split lane always adds another element to the track. Which way to go, which lane is faster that day? Luckily, I have Fitz and Spotter's power for me. So he's out there earlier in the day, so that helps out a little bit. But yeah, it's just being consistent.
Well, Chad, it's been awesome talking to you so far. I mean, the season's been outstanding. I mean, there's a lot of people behind you that really help you get out there. You probably want to thank.
Oh, definitely. I couldn't do this without the help of all my sponsors and family and friends. Like Kenda Tires, they've been unreal. We've had a great relationship and continued relationship. Flying Dutchman Off-Road, Mikey Van Heuvel, Dan, Nancy. I couldn't do it without them. Me and Mikey bounce ideas off each other, some crazy stuff, and some of it works. So that's invaluable. Jake and Katie from Modern Built. they help me out with a lot of stuff, haul my truck to the track, and just whatever I need, they help out with. VP Fuels, JP Remington, I mean, he takes care of me. He's an awesome supporter of the series and the sport. Ultra Wheels, FK Rod Ends, Willwood Brakes, ATD Transmissions, I don't have an automatic anymore, but Charlie and Michael still help me out when they can. Simpson, got a whole full new setup this year. Helmet, suit, head and neck restraint, belts, shoes, gloves. I mean, they're the best in the business. They do a lot for me. Bob's Engine Transmission, he still helps and when he can. Victory Vinyl and Competitive Edge Motorsports. I mean, all those guys help. And then my crew, Dylan, John, Andy, Adam, and Jordan, at the track, they just make it easy for me. I don't have to do as much as normally do, so that's awesome. And then the whole R&S Motorsports, my brothers, Colin and Connor, they help me when I can. My mom, my grandma still comes all the races at 83 years old. And just that whole group, I couldn't do without them.
Well, hey, man, sounds like you got a lot of great people behind you, and the proof has been in the pudding this year. We look forward to some big things from you, rounds 5 and 6 at ERX.
Yep, we got to come. We just got to keep it rolling and, you know, eyes on the prize. That's the way I look at it. So we'll do what we can.
Well, good
man. We're looking forward to it, man. We're looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's it for this one. We hope you all had a safe and meaningful and happy Independence Day. And we will talk again soon. Another episode coming out a little bit later this week featuring Kyle Ambrosiak from Stock Truck. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and thanks for hanging out with us here at the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.